What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to another episode of the Thrive After Sports podcast. This episode is going to be another weekly meetup from the Thrive After Sports collaborative community. I'm actually moving the meetups to Mondays. We're going to experiment with some different days and times. We've been having them on Saturdays for a while. College football is back, guys. I can't be having meetups on Saturdays. I'm trying to relax and watch some college football and unwind from the week. So meetups will be moved officially to Mondays at 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 10:30 Central, 11:30 a.m. Eastern on Mondays for now. Eventually, I'm going to move them, experiment with some different times on Wednesdays and then Fridays, just trying to make sure I'm having events where people can actually show up and get on there and network, and I can make introductions. We can all get help and support with our businesses. You know, we can help the athletes coming up behind us. So anyway, join the Thrive After Sports collaborative community using the link below. The group is free for now. At the time of this recording, the group is free. Eventually, I'm going to start charging subscriptions for later members who join. Right now, if you join, you're considered one of my founding members if you get approved, meaning if I invited you, or if you're a listener of this podcast and I'm sharing the link with you, then chances are I'm going to approve you if you come in. So join now while it's still free, especially if you are a current athlete or a athlete going through the transition. You definitely want to be a part of this community to be able to get help from people who have made it through the other side, people who are entrepreneurs, people who specialize in working with current and former athletes. So many great things happening. And that's actually why I wanted to share this recording with you. Like I said, I'm not going to share every single meetup recording. I'm exclusively sharing those inside the community for members to go back and watch the recordings of events or meetups that they miss. But I thought this one was so good that it was worth sharing. So, and there was only six people on this one. It's early. I'm the type of person where I'm not ashamed to share the fact that only five or six people showed up to these events, right? Because I know that eventually I want it to be small and intimate and enough to where people can actually get support on their business or ask questions or introductions can be made. That's hard to do when there are hundreds of people on a call, right? So as the group continues to grow, I will have more meetups to make sure there's not too many people on one call. But for the time being, I just thought I'd share this with you guys because A, I know you'll be able to learn a lot from it just by hearing other people get advice or other people have conversations around their businesses and, you know, situations that they're dealing with or need help with. And then B, the other thing is, I know that by hearing this, you'll say, you know what, I probably need to join the Thrive After Sports collaborative community and get on some of these calls so I can meet people, some of these great people who are in this group, and also get my questions answered about my business, right? So anyway, I'll leave it at that. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning into the show. Please help spread the word about this podcast and Thrive After Sports in general, and help spread the word about the Thrive After Sports collaborative community. If you know someone who could benefit from it, I appreciate all you guys who tune in and listen and all of your ratings and reviews, and a lot of shares. A lot of you guys have actually been sharing the episodes out. I can see the numbers. So I appreciate you guys. And I'll see you in the next episode. Peace. Adam, you were on the last one. We've been getting a lot of feedback on your last, all the gems you were dropping on the last event, the last meetup a couple of weeks ago. So well, Megan, this is cool because you can introduce yourself to myself and Adam and also everyone in the group who's watching the recording. So take it away. Floor is yours.
Sure. So my name is Megan. I am a former student athlete of many years ago as a women's basketball player, and then got into coaching, and I coached for 15 years from Division One all the way down to high school. I've been a head coach, assistant coach, volunteer, dobo, you name it, I've done it. And I'm also a licensed therapist. So I just left coaching almost 3 years ago, due to some, a physical, issue or a disease. I have an autoimmune disorder that where I was coaching wasn't really good for, I wasn't very close to very good healthcare. So I needed to move to be closer to healthcare for myself. But I work for myself, and I created the Rec Center, which is Reflect, Evolve, and Conquer through mental health strategies. And I currently work with athletes and coaches, but I'm looking to kind of create a whole new entity called the Coaches Advocate, really focusing on coaches' mental health and being a consultant or personal development consultant coach for them when it comes to mental health, because there's a lot of focus on the athlete, which I think is great, but there needs to be a lot of focus on the people that affect the athletes. So if we can start to maybe have some change up there with how maybe they think or treat or talk to their athletes and the people that work for them, I think that we could start to see a lot more changes on the athlete level as well. So there's not a lot of people in the pool with me trying to think about the coaches. I think there are, but there aren't as many as there are with athletes. So I don't know. I've just been doing a lot of research. You know, all these C-suite executives are given a coach as soon as they level up, but we don't think about athletics like a business. We think of athletics as just, this is recreational, or, you know, but we think about some big Power Five schools, like they bring in some money, a lot of money for their universities. And so why aren't we treating them like C-suite executives? That's a lot of pressure that they have to manage, and they have to manage people's emotions. They got to manage their assistants. It's a lot. So why not give coaches to help them be better for themselves and be better for their organization? Because they are, you know, coaches, I'll throw myself in there. We are the biggest recruiters for any university. We bring in so many people coming to the university. Why wouldn't you want to nurture that and help us be better at what we do to help you bring more people, which equals more money to a university?
All I have to say is amen. There's a lot I could say about that, but we'll come back to all of that. So thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing that.
Welcome.
That was awesome. I love what you're up to. Adam, I don't think you actually had a chance to officially introduce yourself on the last one. I think we just kind of dove into that conversation with Kim and then Sheer. So go ahead, take it away.
All right, thanks. I am marketing business development professional for over 25 years. And for those of you who have not heard me or have seen me on the platform, my name is Adam Schumann. I have a company called Value Add Advisory. Again, using my marketing and business development experience, I've taken it a step further. I'm a certified business advisor by the SBA, and I'm also a PAD certified athlete development specialist. And my focus is on everything off the field, away from sports, primarily helping athletes and all entrepreneurs start and grow their businesses. So I spent a lot of time working with student athletes, and all entrepreneurs. I do a lot of volunteer work across the country, helping underserved entrepreneurs as well. And my focus in the sports world is to help those athletes that want to have more than just a sports career. Others have a lot of desires to do things, again, off the field, away from sports. And I think, and you know, Taj and yourself probably know better than I do that, you know, we're looking at athletes as human beings, as whole people with multifaceted interests and lives, not just the individual under the helmet or in the jersey. So I think that maybe years ago, as per my studies, it was kind of frowned upon that you weren't committed if you were looking to do something else away from your sport. But I think now it's imperative when we look at the numbers. You've got, you know, 5 to 12 million high school athletes. Then it goes down to 500,000 Division I, II, III athletes, and then less than 1% that go pro. I think, you know, thinking about other things away from sports is probably healthy and probably necessary in most cases. And even for that less than 1% that make it, use that platform to do something else, because it won't last forever and it's not going to distract you from your goal. I think it's actually pretty healthy to have something else away from sports that builds your confidence and gives you satisfaction. So it's been an interesting ride, and thanks again to Taj and his amazing platform to give me access and exposure to great people like you, Megan, and others. So, but I'm always here to help. As Taj knows, I'm not short on words, and anybody who's looking for help on growing their business, starting one, just thinking about what to do, if it's even a glimmer as far as being an entrepreneur is concerned, I'm here to help and here to work with you.
Cool. Thank you, Adam. I don't know if I've said this out loud. I know I may have posted it or responded to a couple of your posts, but for anybody watching this, either like in the near future or years down the line, watching this recording, Adam is a wealth of knowledge. There's no question that I've ever brought to Adam about business or even stuff from my personal life. No question I've ever brought to Adam that he wasn't able to answer with different perspectives or different ways of thinking about things that helped me level up. Adam, I have to give you credit for me even. I had been thinking about starting this group, but you really lit the fire under me and had me thinking about it the right way, understanding that it doesn't have to be perfect. I understand there's going to be, you know, three or four of us or, you know, on these first few calls, but I'm still comfortable with that because of the conversations that we've had. So anyway, I just want to say that piece. And by the way, go back and look at the last recording, whichever one is posted before this one, where Adam was giving myself and Kim Brady some really solid business advice. That's just a glimpse, just the surface of what Adam brings to the table in terms of his knowledge and willingness to help. So I actually need to go grab my notes. I didn't know you were going to be here today, Adam, because you and I have a call coming up this week. So I've been preparing what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm going to go grab my notes right now. But in the meantime, Megan, especially since this is your first time here, thank you for letting us know who you are. But is there anything that you maybe didn't share that you feel like you need support with from this group? Or, you know, who are you looking to connect with? Like, just let us know what you need right now, what you're looking for.
What I'm working on, it's not popular. It's not cool, right? Coaches don't want to talk about themselves. They don't want to admit that potentially they need help. So it's trying to figure out how to get in front of them, trying to get in front of ADs to be preventative, not reactive to, like, let's say a coach at the end of the year gets on a PIP or has, like is being investigated for some reason, potentially that could have been avoided. If there was training involved, if there was somebody that was mentoring them, because again, the coaching, the actual X's and O's of the game is like maybe 10 to 20% of what they do. Majority of what they're doing is managing people's lives, including their staff. And sometimes they're not the best at it. And a lot of times they didn't have the best teachers. So they potentially are doing a lot more harm than good, and really trying to think, help people think about mental health, not as like, I need to be diagnosed or there's a problem, but more so of like prevented, like everybody needs somebody to talk to. And it can't always be your spouse or your loved ones, or it needs someone, sometimes it needs to be a professional just to throw something off, you know, off the wall to say, okay, well, what's going, like, what do you think of this? And kind of just what I call verbal vomit. And because I've been a head coach, like I remember my husband was always like, why does it take you so long to get home from practice or the game? I'm like, yo, I got so much in my head. I need to be able to like speak it out. I need to talk to somebody. I need to like, and you get tired of hearing it. My assistants get tired of hearing it. So who, you know, I need someone to talk to. And I think what has come back to me with the coaches that I have worked with is like, you know, they don't have to explain anything to me. I've been a coach. I know what it's like. I understand the politics. I understand like all those things. And the bureaucracy of what happens at any level, doesn't matter, high school, JC and up. So I really do need kind of ideas of how to get in front of coaches. I've been to the women's basketball convention. I've gone twice. I'm gonna go again this year in Cleveland. I'd love to get to the to NACTA and their convention for athletic directors, because they're the decision makers. So, but again, my messaging, I guess, like, just ideas on that. Again, like I do support athletes, but it's a very crowded pool in there. Everybody's in there trying to help them. And I think it's great. And I really do want to do that. But I think coaches just need a lot more. If we think about how they affect so many people in one space, sometimes positively, sometimes negatively. And we also forget that coaches are also human too. They don't have superpowers. They got a lot of stuff going on and that they don't share. And that if they did share, potentially they're worried about losing their job. So yeah, I know that's a lot, but that's kind of what goes on in my mind all the time.
I see Adam's gears turning. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. You know, when she's talking about the coaches, it reminds me too, and I guess I'm aging myself, but the movie Invincible with Vince Papale trying out for the Eagles. And he sits down, you know, he's fighting for his life. I think he's a bartender that tries out for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he sits down with the coach who's supposed to be Dick Vermeil. And coach goes, how you doing? He says to the coach back, how are you doing? Like, how are you? And the coach looked at him like he was crazy. Like, nobody ever asked the coach how they're doing. It's like asking your boss at work how they're doing. Usually it's always top down.
Right.
So I absolutely understand what you're talking about. So you're kind of swimming against the tide, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going, and you mentioned a couple of things already as far as, you know, how do you position yourself in front of the athletic directors or the coaches? And you said the right things. You talked about some of the conventions they go to. Taj and I always talk about, and even with Aswan, I spoke with him as well, who joined us. We talk about the one-to-many. Where's the one place I can go where I can reach many decision makers, check writers, buyers, whatever you want to call them? And right, you know, there are conferences and events that a lot of coaches go to, a lot of ADs go to. Yeah, that's where you need to go. And I always recommend reaching out to those organizations and see if you can get a speaking opportunity, either on a panel or whatever it may be. But that's a way to get up there as a perceived expert. And again, your audience is filled with all the people that you want to deal with. So you're on the right path there. It's probably just a matter of crafting the right message for the right audience and the right channel, which is basics of marketing. But you know, if you know what they're reading or what they're listening to or where they're going and attending, you need to be in front of them in all those different channels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, I was thinking about, like, I had done some research on, like, there's the volleyball coaches convention, there's the football coaches convention, right? But I think about, I'm a solopreneur that has not, you know, got a lot of money either. So, and I've quickly learned when I've done the WBCA, like, you can buy a booth and that's great, but like, nobody knows that you're there. Right. And so you have to buy space in order to, like, or buy time, I guess, to get in front of people. And so being strategic around the people that I want to be in front of, like, you know, I thought, well, that's too much, like, spreading it between all these different coaches. And so I'd rather just go with the group of people that I used to be a part of the group of, which is women's basketball, and people know me in that space. But then also too, with the bigger decision makers of ADs and support staff. So yeah, to your point, like, I feel like I am swimming upstream.
But you know, yeah. Again, if let's say women's basketball is where you've got the most traction to date, and again, we talk about, you know, focusing on one thing and getting known for that one thing, because let's say you do, you know, win the gold medal for doing what you're doing in women's basketball, then you can use that that exposure, that platform, to go after, let's just say, football, or then volleyball, or track, whatever it may be. But at least if you get known for doing it in one space, you can then start to use that, let's call it notoriety, for lack of a better term, and then say, hey, well, I've been successful in women's basketball, so now I'm branching out, I'm doing football or baseball. It doesn't matter. But at least if you get known for doing it in one area and doing it really well and getting accolades for it, or at least acknowledged for it, that opens doors and that gives you a platform to go after the other sports within the university. Mm-hmm. But instead of trying to be all things to all people, focus on what you know when you have the most experience. And obviously that's women's basketball.
Right. Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Megan, do you have a website?
I do. It's I can throw it in the chat if you'd like. It's therecenter.net.
Okay. I was looking on your LinkedIn and I saw this KCAL 9 interview and all kind of, it looks like you have some good, you know, PR stuff going on here.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, this is my daughter. I've been in a couple of podcasts. I was on the KCAL 9 feature, which was really cool. But that was like right when I first got started, which is about maybe just last year. And so that has been great, but I haven't been on anything recently. So looking for opportunities in that space too. Because I think I'm actually doing a talk for WeCoach, which is just a women's sports organization that helps coach women's coaches on all levels to help support them. So I'm doing a talk for them in September, which I'm excited about. So it, you know, it's coming slowly but surely. I feel like, you know, as entrepreneurs, like, we want things to happen like that. And so that's not always the case. It takes time. Just like when you reintroduce a new concept to a player, they're not going to potentially get it right away. It takes time to marinate, takes time to get better at. So.
Do you know, I'll come back to you, Megan. I want to give Aswan a chance to, Aswan, I know you're driving, bro. You're probably on your way to the gym right now, but, Do you want to wait until you park or to introduce yourself and all that?
I'm not on my way. I know that's not all I do. I'm actually on my way to a sports bar. I'm about to go to Twin Peaks and watch a bunch of high school football. So it's perfect because I get the high school football and I get to flirt with some of the bartenders. I don't know if you've been to a Twin Peaks, but they like a different Hooters. And I just left a youth football game. You think it's cool because it's work too, because it's like, you know, I do this and then, you know, you link up with some of the honeys there. But anyway, you're a married man and all that, so I can't really chat with you about that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'm out the game, man. I'm out the game.
Oh, but that's yeah, hilarious. Good to see everyone. Adam, what's up, bro? I didn't catch the lady that I was talking. I didn't catch her name, but name is Aswan, one and only Move Swiftly speaker. Do a ton of things. Main thing is just really teaching people how to team with, teaching people a way of innovative teamwork, and using what I learned on the football field and applying it to business in regards to how people work as a team. So that's kind of the elevator speech I normally give.
I got to talk to you about your new role, man. I saw you post something on Instagram about business development manager with I can't remember the name of the company now, but is it high school recruiting? Right. Is that what the company does?
Yeah, it's going to be, it's youth to high school recruiting.
Okay. Well, that's dope, man. Congratulations on that. Safe travels on the road. Have fun at Twin Peaks and just feel free to jump on when you can.
Yeah. No, I'm here. I'm here for another couple minutes. So I'm just, holler at me.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Megan, are you familiar with Athlete Soul? Miriam Glass? Does that name ring a bell?
No, I mean, I've seen them, but I'm not familiar with them, no.
So Miriam, probably about a year, maybe it's been longer than a year, started off this branch of Athlete Soul called Coach's Soul, which was basically, and someone else was heading it up. I'm not sure if I actually should look that guy up to see if he's still doing it, but he was supposed to be heading that up to expand Athlete Soul into serving athletes or former athletes, but expanded into serving coaches and coaching the coaches. They even had it broken down to where like they would watch film of the coaches coaching and then give them feedback on their film of, you know, how they're dealing with the players, which I thought was an interesting concept. So it might be worth, and Miriam's in this group, or you can just look her up on LinkedIn and, you know, tell her that I sent you, and the other guy's name is escaping me right now, but oh, never mind. His name is Lee. So there's Miriam Glass from, well, you already know about Athlete Soul, so you can find Miriam and reach out to her. But this guy's Lee, the guy just dropped in the chat. He was the guy who was heading up that coaches division of Athlete Soul. And it looks like it's still going on. I haven't heard too much about it. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to step in and help, you know, partner with them to take that to the next level, because it still says he's there. It says Coach's Soul as a co-founder on his LinkedIn profile, but it's been pretty quiet since they first launched it. So they may need some help or your expertise.
Okay, for sure. That's cool.
So are you looking to just help the coaches specifically?
Yes.
Like, are you looking to work with companies that help with coaches?
Like, I want to work with athletic coaches, like, that just need like, coaching in whatever aspect that looks like. So
have you heard of Positive Coaching Alliance by any chance?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know where you're located, but I'm a trainer for them as well. Okay. Where are you located?
I'm in the Bay Area in California. So I actually had a phone call.
They're big. They're big.
Yeah. They're big out here. Yeah. I had a conversation with somebody out here a while ago, and I was asking if I could do a training and for their coaches, and they weren't interested. So I was like, I was kind of stuck. Yeah, I know.
The thing is, I thought you would have made a good trainer for the, because you know, we're privately contracted. So the way it works is we'll go to, and it's probably different out the Bay Area, but because I'm in South Florida and we're so new, we would go to the high schools, and we would basically put on the workshops. Or the youth, wherever the coaches, and it'd be us coaching the coaches. But because the Bay Area, I know they do a lot with the Warriors and stuff like that, I guess it's a little more corporate out there with who they let in as trainers. So that was just something I was thinking about.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I went down that road for a while, and then when they got back to me and they're like, "Yeah, we really, you know, we like what you're doing, but that's not really aligned with what we're trying, like, or what we're doing." And so I was like, "Okay." Like,
they might have saw it as a conflict.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, to be quite honest with you. I think that's what it could have been. So, all good. All good.
Hey, Adam.
How about
Adam, what do you need help with? You know, like, just like nobody ever asks the coach, like, what do you need help with, man? Because you give so much to this community and people. I send people your way at least once a week now. I'm like, you need to talk to Adam. Just reach out to him. He can help you.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the help that I need. I just need, you know, to be, you know, more involved. You know, I do a lot of different things, so I don't have necessarily the opportunity to hang my shingle as others do and really shout it from the rooftops. So I do a lot of one-on-one and a lot of recommendations and referrals for now. So I just, as always, ask, hey, if you come across anybody, any kind of entrepreneur thinking of starting a business, has started one and needs help, athletes looking to do something, just, you know, keep me in mind as someone who can help them. Again, I help them in all facets, from planning, launching, managing, marketing, and growing them. There's pretty much, you know, no strategy that we can't figure out. And hopefully, you know, what I like is to meet folks that I can help accelerate, you know, their goals, help them reach their goals and, you know, faster for themselves and for their business. But I'm, you know, I always tell folks I'm, you know, singularly focused on entrepreneurs and business. I know there's other great folks out there that help athletes in particular in all different facets, like you all do. And I believe in networking and having that, you know, network available. I even posted something this week, Taj, because someone in a different group said to me, does anybody really ever get anything out of these networking, you know, meetings and these breakout rooms when people do them? And I said, it's hard when you've got 100 service providers all talking about their own service. What do you think is really going to come of it? Everybody's out there looking for business. So nothing's really going to come of it. So I always use the example of lawyers and accountants, because it's so easy to understand that they're all going after the same type of client, but they don't compete. So they're perfectly able to cross market and team up. And that's what I think more of us need to do is, hey, look, you know, you come across an athlete that's looking to do X, great. If you can help him with what you do, but he happens to, or she happens to say, hey, I want to start a business, that's great. Think of me. Or if I come across athletes or whomever, and even coaches now, and say, I'm looking for some help, or even if they're not looking for anything, I can suggest and say, look, I know I help you with this one area, but I've got a lot of really good people in my network and in my circle on my team that can help you with, whether you're a coach or whether you're a player in transition or whatever training you may need. So I'm always kind of like looking at everybody that I meet as part of my roster. And that's kind of the team that I built, because none of us can do it alone. We all need somebody or multiple somebodies. And I always keep that roster in mind, because I may come across somebody who that I can't help. You know, I'm really not interested in doing anything on my own, but I really could use help with my career, getting a job. And we get a lot of those on the platform. Hey, I'm a student, I'm graduating, I'm looking for a job. So I'm always just recommending, you know, for me, if anybody you come across has a business or wants to start one and just looking for some strategic help, support, think of me. And conversely, I'm always like, if you're looking for whatever it is that you're looking for, again, I keep my roster pretty updated in front of me, and I like to make recommendations for others to help. That's kind of it. Other than that, you know, signed contracts or retainers would be great. But you got to be realistic about it. But no, recommendations mean everything. But thanks
that,
for that.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You're asking.
That actually led me to something else. I'll wait till we have our meeting, because I don't want to bore people to death or take up the rest of this time with the stuff I was already planning on asking you. That would be selfish for me to do that right now when we already have time on the calendar. But I really like that post you put out, because it's true. You know, I think my goal with this was to have, and still is to have, a lot of current athletes where us as a service providers can service them. And that's a work in progress, and I'm being creative with how to do that. But in the meantime, meetings like this, there's four of us, but like you said, all of us can come away with something that we're thinking about differently, because like you said, we serve the same population, but in different ways and bringing different skill sets to the table. So, you know, I think that's that's why I've been so intentional about trying to send more people your way, you know, just because anytime I come across someone, I'm like, just hit Adam up. And same thing, like now that I know Megan, now I know what to reach out or who to send Megan's way. If I'm talking to coaches or talking to ADs, as one, you know, I've known you for over a decade, so that's a given. But so by the way, I think this is important to share just because I had someone reach out to me this morning saying that she was asking if she could jump on like 30 minutes into the meeting. This is like super informal, as you guys can see. It's not, if you ever are running late, and I'm playing around with the times, I moved this one up 30 minutes today. I'm going to be trying some stuff during the week. I don't want you guys to feel like, oh, if I can't be there on time, then I can't be there at all. Or if you jump on, you don't, like, if you want to jump off 15 minutes in after you ask your question or say your piece, my feelings aren't going to be hurt. I want this to be the kind of like pop in, pop out type of vibe, not just like another business meeting, if that makes sense. So, but yeah, I might wrap it up. I think I might give it another 5 minutes or so because someone told me she would be jumping in at the top of the hour. But does anyone else have anything? Yes, sir.
All right. So, I mean, for the past week, not a week, maybe three, maybe basically 5 days, like I told you guys, my LinkedIn account got hacked. So I took it as a sign to, oh my God, it's fucking bullshit. 16 articles in. I mean, I had articles ready to go batched all the way until October. So luckily, I have them written in somewhere else. They come out and make it move, but like I was getting traction. I was almost at 100 subscribers. And anyway, don't get me started on that. But what I've been doing is I reached out on Fiverr and I've just been messaging people about how to manage, or I'm going to pay someone to manage my LinkedIn account. And I noticed yours. I'm not sure if you pay someone or you have any recommendations on people that would want to get paid to manage someone's LinkedIn account, because I'm not really interested in doing anything social media wise, especially when it comes to LinkedIn, when LinkedIn is like going to be my main thing for business. Like, since it got hacked and since I got to start it from fresh, I want to actually pay someone to manage it like monthly or something. So if anybody has any recommendations with that, then holler at me.
Are there any particular aspects you want this person to manage, or like manage the entire account, including posting for you, interacting? What are we talking about?
Posting, between just posting and getting new leads. Like once I get new leads, I can close them after they come into the inbox. But when it comes to posting, like I have several articles ready to be posted. I have to repost the ones obviously that got lost, but the podcast is going to be approaching 500 episodes pretty soon. I have clips for days. I mean, content out there that's just over close to 700 videos on YouTube. All that kind of stuff is like ready to be put out. But again, I don't have the time or energy to be doing that and then worrying about if certain posts are being liked and all that stuff that I know, like a lot of people I've met on Fiverr, they have their numbers ready. They know the optimization. They know the SEO, they know how to target, like they know a lot of good stuff. So if there's like a professional LinkedIn, I'm not sure if you still work with, was it YB, I think it was, who called himself like the LinkedIn locksmith or something like that.
Yeah.
So anybody that really prides themselves on like being a LinkedIn expert, I'd be willing to pay them something monthly.
YB, so I don't think YB outsources anything. I think he more so just teaches you as the, you know, creator to manage your content or manage your profile on LinkedIn and how to get the most out of it. But do you need me to make that intro to YB, or are you connected with him at all? Probably not, because he's not on LinkedIn.
He was on my podcast, so I could reach out to him.
That's right.
I was just curious if anybody in this group, or if you got, yours actually looks like, the reason I'm asking you is yours actually looks like someone else did. I'm not sure if you did that by yourself with the barcode on the banner screen and all that shit. I was like, I'm not sure if you did it or if you had someone else.
Jamie helped me.
Who? Jamie?
Jamie helps me with all that stuff. Yeah. She taught me how to use Canva. So
Jamie wants a new little gig, you know, shit.
Jamie's my wife. So, you know what, man? She has the design. She has the eye for it. I'll just be like, I need it to look like this, and she'll put something together for me. She likes doing that stuff and I don't. So, and then we keep it in-house and I don't have to pay anyone for it. But, yeah, man. No, I don't have anyone aside from Jamie helping me with, like, she does my YouTube thumbnails and stuff like that too, because I realized she'll probably have a thumbnail instead of just me on a still shot looking silly on my Zoom. Like, so yeah. She helped me with that type of stuff.
That's the problem I have now. And it does lead to more, like, have you saw that makes a difference in terms of your subscriptions and, like, your engagement? Just the way it's
looking? Ironically, not on you, in a way, I guess, but I still get most of my listens from the podcast on Apple and Spotify. You know, YouTube is like a distant third in terms of the podcast. I mean, it looks better, of course. And when you share it on social media, it looks better if I say, hey, I just dropped this episode with so-and-so, and they see that nice thumbnail on, you know, LinkedIn or Instagram, it makes a difference there. But in terms of YouTube, I don't know, man. I should pay someone to help me get my YouTube numbers up, because people are listening, but not watching.
So what do you do as, like, your best lead generator? Like, how do you get leads the most? I LinkedIn.
Think the podcast. As in coaching clients?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, their best leads probably come from LinkedIn.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, it'd be worth paying someone to help me get leads via LinkedIn, because that's not a world that I want to fuck with like that.
Yeah, I get it. Just reaching out on your behalf, and then you could close them, like you said. That makes sense. Right. Let's see. Well, I'll have my eyes and ears open. I think YB is a good connection, because he may even have some outsourcing people. I don't know if he uses them, but he probably knows them or knows somebody who knows someone who has the outsourced.
I'll message YB. I wasn't sure if he was still fucking with him with all the drama going on with the, I'm not going to say the previous company.
No, YB's good. YB wasn't attached to that.
I was reluctant to say the name throughout that whole conversation just now.
That's fine. I should probably make it more clear that I'm no longer affiliated with Self-Publishing 30 Days. And I'll just leave it at that. That's all people need to know. I no longer recommend their services. You can just leave it at that.
Right.
All right. Adam, Megan, anything else? Anything that's on your mind, or anything you want to share with the people who may be watching the recording?
I had a question. You know, all of you are talking about maybe using YouTube or podcasts. Like, I'm not on any of that, and I've thought about it of creating one. I've been on a few, been interviewed, and then thinking about being on YouTube. Like, is that hard? Is that something that, like, you went in and was like, this is how I'm going to market, and I know it's somewhat for free, and I'm going to do it this way, and I can reach so many people that way. Like, well, how did you come to that decision?
That's one. You want to take it?
Well, the podcast came from the first book I wrote is called Swiftly, Your Guide to Innovative Teamwork. And I was chatting with this guy right here, and I noticed that he started his podcast around that time. So I was having a conversation with him, and he suggested I start one. And I was thinking, just like you, it was going to be expensive to get the equipment and all that kind of stuff. And I remember the specific words. He goes, that thing is 100% free, broham. He said it just like that, right? So at the time, I was going to Toastmasters, and this was around the time that I just became a PCA trainer. So I was developing as a public speaker. And the thing is, there was this virus called the coronavirus that came out, and I had all these speeches in my head, and I had to let them out some kind of way. So I was giving out these speeches. Like, I did a ton of solo episodes. Most of my podcasts are solo episodes. And then one of my former teammates, who actually recently passed away this past year, but he reached out to me and was like, look, I love what you're doing. I love the show. And then I had him on the show. And then from there, it's just been kind of ongoing over and over and over. Now, I also had another guest. His name is Dre Baldwin, who I paid him to be one of my business coaches. And he looked through everything. I mean, he has 33 books out. I mean, well over 7,000 stuff on, like, just internet, all over the internet. And we were talking during one of our coaching calls, and he looks at me, he goes, I don't see you speaking on camera at all. How could you call yourself a speaker? How could you say you want to, you know, be developing business? I never see you on camera. And I was like, hold the fuck up, dog. Like, I took it personally. So from there, I was like, hold up, dog. They're about to just be like talking to me, like, you know. So I, from that point, this happened about a year and a half ago now. From that point, I just, after I run, every single day, I do one video on YouTube and I post it. And then that video eventually makes it on my podcast after a few weeks. So I do a full episode, which is over 30 minutes. And then throughout the week, I'll repost the ones on that I have on YouTube, and then that's how it just keeps the algorithms and stuff like that keep going. So it's just part of my daily routine now, because I could develop as a speaker, and then you never know who's watching and never know who's listening. So you're doing your part to kind of put yourself in a situation where people can find you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you should do it, Megan. I think so. Mine is the opposite of Asmon's, where he wrote the book, then started a podcast. I started a podcast and wrote the book. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Ideally, I think you should do both at the same time and launch them both and have them like play off of each other. But I started my podcast because I was putting out content. I didn't even have Instagram at the time. I like deleted all my social media when I graduated from college and I was going through the transition and I was depressed. So I deleted everything. And then I brought back LinkedIn because that's where I was getting coaching clients from early on. And I was putting out content on LinkedIn. And then I was like, well, I'm putting out, you know, and I would have it linked to, I would make like 5-10 minute videos and then put the clips on LinkedIn. And that was getting me clients and traction. And then I was like, people are liking the clips, but they're not clicking to watch the full video on YouTube. It's probably because they're on the go. So then I just took those videos from YouTube and started uploading those as podcasts. And then eventually I started interviewing clients and interviewing guests. But like, that's kind of my formula, is I'll make a video or do a podcast interview, upload it to YouTube, and then take that same audio and just put it on. I use Spotify for podcasters. I just dropped it in the chat. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different platforms. They're all free. There's pros and cons to all of them. I like this one the most, where you just upload your audio and it distributes it to Apple and Spotify and anywhere there are podcasts. But yeah, it seems like you have a lot of, like, I see you, when I was looking at your LinkedIn earlier, I see that you repost a lot of people's stuff and you put your own commentary on it, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So if you do a video or something, then yeah, why not put it on YouTube or distribute it as a podcast? It can't hurt. And as long as it's not taking up too much of your time, that's the thing where I have to be careful. Like, I'll probably spend an hour today and an hour tomorrow getting my, you know, new podcast ready for the week. And arguably, I mean, I guess it's a good use of time. I enjoy it, but you know, as long as you find a balance, that's the last thing I would say, is like, do it, but make sure it's not super time consuming, or at least you're getting some ROI on the episodes you're putting out, you know?
Right. Right. I think, like, to be honest with everybody on here, I feel like that's the part of my business that I drag my feet on the most. It's the marketing piece. It's the social media. It's the LinkedIn. Somebody had told me about Anchor. You could just, like, you know, talk into your phone and then it just uploads on its own. But it's because I'm working with clients, either therapy clients or coaching clients. Sometimes the last thing on my mind is like, oh shit, I need to go and do fill in the blank. Like, I need to go and do, get on LinkedIn, or I need to, like, you know, speak to my, like, people on IG or Twitter, because coaches live on Twitter. So it's a labor. I don't know. I can't say it's a labor of love, cause I don't love it, but I need to start to learn to love it. cause I feel like I got so many roles, just like coaches do, right? Like, I'm trying to do this. I'm a mom. I'm a solopreneur. I'm doing all this other shit. And like, I feel like there's times where I just don't have, like, that's that one thing where I'm like, well, I'm just gonna let that go. But then I can't. But then I'm get mad when I'm like, damn, like, my clients are drying up, when people are like, yo, like, thank you so much, but you know, we got to go, or da 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 da. Like, I've had that happen this week. And so I'm just like, panic, 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 panic. What do I do? And I'm like, well, if you were just out there marketing yourself, you wouldn't be in this position. So I have this, like, I don't know, these internal conversations, I'm sure we all do, about the things that we don't like to do, or, you know, things that are labors.
Well, you know, it's the equivalent to, you know, being the store owner and sweeping the floors, ringing the register, stocking the shelves, buying the merchandise. You know, it's what it is when you're a solopreneur. You're wearing all those hats. But it's, you know, the marketing is a big part of what you do because you want to have that pipeline filled. So when one comes out, you know, another one can step right in. Mm-hmm. As some of you know, I grew up in the professional services world, marketing and business development for lawyers, accountants at big firms. And of course, these professionals, the last thing they want to do is market. They want to service their clients and bill, but they know it's important to be out there. You know, what they say, you can't be, you know, viable if you're not visible. And it's important, but that, you know, all the things that you're talking about really, to me, fall into the bucket of thought leadership, whether it's written, whether it's taped or digital, it's all thought leadership. It's the information that you put out there that gets people to see you as the perceived expert. And most of the information, I always like to call it, you know, I always call it issues or cause marketing. I want to talk about things that will hit somebody and say, oh my gosh, that's happening to me. I better call, you know, Adam as the expert since he's putting this message out and figure out how I can get involved or how I can address that issue. Because what do we want to do? We want to either excite people or disturb them, right? And disturbing them gets them to react a hell of a lot quicker than excite them. But the point is, you know, you want to let the things that will get them motivated to use you. You know, a lot of folks go out there and they want to just promote how great they are. It's not about that. You got to talk about the things that you can do for your audience. You know, it's like for me, do I want to go out there and just say, hey, I'm this kind of graduate, this degree, that degree, and not talk about one thing that's going to strike a chord, as opposed to saying to an entrepreneur, without a business plan, you have a good chance of failing. And then someone would react to, oh, my business plan, I don't even have one, would react faster to that than just to hear me talk about my credentials. Who cares? So the thought leadership, whatever form it looks like, is your opportunity to educate your target audience about the things that you can address for them. And that's what's going to get them to respond to you. Let the issues, you know what I mean? Let the issues speak for themselves. Let that motivate someone to pick up the phone or send an email or text or whatever. But that's how you're going to get their attention, by talking about the things that you do and the issues you cover, so that it resonates with the recipient, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's sitting down to do it is my problem. It's like, you know, I have all this stuff. Like, I have a lot of, I mean, I got a lot of shit around me that's like, yeah, like I've got all this content, but the sitting down to do it, the sitting down to plan out like a month or 2 months of content and having that just go out on its own would be
but also think about, you know, look, we live in the world of sound bites. People don't have a long attention span, and there's so much outside distraction and noise, as they call it. It may be easier just to say, hey, look, you know what, I'm gonna put, like I do with on Taj's platform all the time. Like, someone asked me about the value of networking on, you know, these kinds of platforms, and it wasn't on Taj, and I just sit down and I respond in a few minutes. I love to respond to other people's things because sometimes they've got the larger audience. And by me just inserting myself, I get in front of all their folks. It's like the analogy I always use is, do you want to spend 3 weeks writing an article and getting it published in a magazine that's got 200 circulation? Or do you want to get a one-line quote in USA Today that goes to millions of people? And right. That feed right to yours. You know what I mean? You always want to go where the action is. And if you can get quoted in a huge publication, like let's just say USA Today, and they've got all those millions of people viewing it online, well, then it links right to you and you could link it to yourself. I mean, so you can create that conduit, you know, and there's more to it, but that's in essence, that's what happens. I'd rather have one sentence in a huge audience than writing three pages, which takes time, and getting no eyeballs on it. So,
right.
So commenting on other people's things like you've been doing is not a bad idea. Because again, they've got the audience and they've got people that are interested in that topic. And now you're just adding to it, and you know, you're an available service provider that can help. So nothing wrong with that. But I like to work on smaller things, quick hits, things that resonate with topics of the day, so to speak, or something that somebody's asking. Only ask because that's my time schedule. I don't have the time to do that. And like I said, I'm not really out there, you know, visually, like others are, because I do other things during the day. But I like to just figure out where some of these big audiences are and kind of insert myself and hopefully come up with something that resonates with somebody. And they say, oh, interesting. So here I am now. I don't have to create anything from scratch. I'm finding platforms that already are existing and have huge followings, and I'm just inserting myself to it. And the last thing I'll say, it's the difference of like, do you want to create your own trade show, or would you rather just go speak to a coach's event that's already organized and planned that has a following? It's no brainer. You just want to insert yourself because it's already there. Why recreate it from scratch? So that's kind of my approach on it.
Adam's on here giving a masterclass as usual. All right, we have less than 10 minutes left, and Jackie just jumped on. Jackie, when you told me you were jumping on today, I was so excited because it's been forever since I've seen your face.
Yes.
Just so you know, like I was telling you earlier when you emailed me earlier, you know, don't ever feel like you're intruding. Like, you can come and go as you please on these meetings. But since we have you here, please just introduce yourself to everyone. And then if you have a question that you want to ask about your business or anything like that, feel free to throw that out there too, so we can all support.
Okay. Thank you, Taj. Thank you. It's awesome to see you. And this summer has been pretty tough for me, but just keep me in your prayers. Let me just say that. My name is Jackie Smith. I am a full-time personal trainer. Love the game of basketball. And it just seemed that wherever I go, I'm always getting clients, which is fortunate, getting clients that want me to kind of teach them how to play basketball. So I'm very blessed in that way that I still have clients coming to me. But what I put out there for myself and the company that I'm building, even more so, is a full-scale training program. So when I say that, it's personal development, a mindset coach, a transition coach. And then I also want to, I'm in the health and wellness field. And what I want to do is introduce health and wellness to athletes. That's my niche. I know a lot of them, especially elite athletes, are into the health and wellness. They're taking good, vitamins and amino acids and good things. But they take that as a source of just as a health benefit. Well, there's also a money component to that. And I want to do it where I bring only athletes into a health and wellness business and create an income revenue source for them. So as we know, if I suggest, hey, get these pair of Nikes, they're great for my feet, they do X, Y, Z, more than likely another athlete will do the same thing. We listen to one another. Well, why can't we do that in the health and wellness space? We have to get, as I am a personal trainer, you know, I find that more, maybe my college athletes are into it, but I want to get more high school athletes, especially when we're finding so many young athletes collapsing on the floor. For many reasons. I'm not saying, you know, health and wellness products is the answer to that, but we all know that eating McDonald's foods eventually kind of catches up to you. So we want to be preventive in that. We want them to get them to start taking care of their bodies health-wise early as possible. So besides my personal training business, I started, I guess you would call it for some, a network marketing company for just athletes. And it's going well. Some athletes, as I kind of market it a little bit more, it's starting to grow. But I just envision this to be really huge because I think it's just necessary. And I guess my question would be to the gentleman who was just speaking, if you were doing the same thing, I'd love to hear about marketing tools and what people would do if this was their idea as well.
That's a, it could be a long answer, but I think the most important thing is you know the market that you want to cater to. So that's you're singularly focused on that market. Again, I would go out there and I would promote, you know, and I've worked in the OTC healthcare space. So I've had products for all different disease states and health issues, from diabetes to eye care, skin care, et cetera. And I love the space because I let the benefits of the products be the marketing message.
Yeah.
Don't talk about, you know, things that you're guessing or you're marketing and you're making fluff. But if you know you're promoting a particular supplement that has ingredients known to do A, B, or C, That's what your marketing message is.
Yes.
Talk about the supplements and the ingredients. I work with a lot of folks that have herbal products, are natural organic herbs that aren't touched and they're bagged and they're put in teas and things. Again, you don't have, the beautiful thing is all that research is fact-based, and there's nothing better than marketing with fact-based research because it's not open to opinion. Hey, these are great ingredients, and ingredient A is known to do A, B, and C for your skin, your hair, your this. You don't have to make it up. So there's, you know, your marketing messaging is all built in. Every product that you offer has all that built-in marketing messaging, which is great based on the ingredients and what they do. So that's really cool.
Awesome.
You know, and the other thing is, like you said, it's you're talking athlete to athlete, so that means something that resonates. But I think it's probably talking about the importance of why these nutritionals or supplements are important to you overall. And again, that's going to be the fact-based research. You know, you can promote your expertise and your background, but at the end of the day, if you're selling product, what's the features, advantages, and benefits of those products? And particularly, again, what the value they offer to your health and wellness. So you've got built-in marketing. It's just a matter of getting it all out there. But I think that's great. And again, I love the product space. I've had products in every retail store in the country at one point or another, either as an entrepreneur or as an employee. You know, every food, drug, mass, Amazon, eBay. There's a lot of channels for you to sell. And it may even be the thing if, you know, it may even be something down the road if you're selling other people's brands. It may even be one day where you private label it, which is just simply putting your label on somebody else's formula. And it happens all the time. And you could have your own athlete brand. I mean, it could be pretty, it could be amazing. You know, that's
amazing.
That's a real opportunity. You know, I've done it before where I've taken some really great formulas that somebody else, some other manufacturer went through all the hoops and paid big money for studies and test results and et cetera. But they know that there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that would love to take their bottle of 90 tablets and put their own label on it and try to market it. So then it becomes, if you're a good marketer, you could actually do better than the owner of the formula, because if you know, just for argument's sake, they're not marketing as well. And I think the best example of that is probably like the Kind Bar. They said those guys originally were marketing folks, not nutrition bars. And then they weren't in that business, but they marketed it well. I don't know if that's 100% true, but the point is you can absolutely take all these great products, rebrand them under your own company, again, private label them, and you can have your own, you know, products company, which could be amazing.
That is amazing. Thank you.
Sure.
Appreciate that. Probably like to pick your brain some more.
Anytime. If Taj can give you my contact information, and we're happy to talk.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie, I'll send you.
Even drop it in the chat.
Adam's website. Yeah.
She's driving anyway, so you better send it to her.
That's true. Yeah, I was going to say, I'll email it.
Responsible.
Okay. Yeah, email would be great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll send you that a little later today. All right, I have 2 minutes, and I like to be respectful of people's time anyway, but I actually have to hit the road. And well, now 60 seconds. Any closing remarks, or is anything else, anyone else want to share anything before we part ways today?
Great, great platform as always, Taj. I love the one-on-one stuff. It's just, yeah, and I'll tell you why, because every business owner is unique. I don't care if they're all doing the same business. Every individual is unique. Every business is unique. And the difference for me is that I work with people one-on-one because it's all about them. Doesn't matter what their competitors are doing. Obviously, the information is important, but you know what I'm saying? Every business owner is absolutely unique. And that's something that is not cookie cutter. It needs to be, like in Jackie's case, whatever we would do would need to be designed for Jackie. Whatever Megan does needs to be designed for Megan's goals. It's not about anybody else's. And that's something that I think a lot of business coaches, consultants, whatever, don't realize. They just think, hey, this is how you do it. No, it all depends on the individual and what they want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, guys, I got to go. Thank you all for being here.
Awesome. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet everybody.
Same here.
Let's have a great weekend.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.